Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My sermon today, are we really slaves in bondage? You know, one of the things we do is we always start our service with confession and absolution. And when you get up there, take a look at the first page. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Now, if you know and remember, it actually is a little different in the Bible. Okay, we have changed that. Remember, we had a couple members at one time that complained because they didn't like the way it said in 1 John. Most merciful God, we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves, is the way the 1 John is written. But they weren't the only ones who have problems with the idea of bondage to sin. Why? Well, even in the Missouri Synod hymnal, they have it totally as the way it is in the Bible and this way, because that's where I pulled that out of. Okay, now look at that for a second. Does this water down what the Bible says? I think it does too. And I've really been thinking about putting it back in, and we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Well, what does it mean to be bound? You know, and again, we got to go back to the words of the Bible and really take a look at them. But yet, words can change, can't they? Oh, man, that was awful. Awful. Full of awe. The words themselves say something positive, don't they? But yet, how do we use it? As something negative. But yet, it's in the King James Version as awful being positive. So can a phrase be both negative and positive at the same time? Well, sure it can, but then which one do they mean? And English is full of junk like that. Cleave. Okay? In the marriage service, they used to have the word cleave. Cleave to one another. Well, I don't know about you, but I always thought cleave means you take the cleaver and cut it, right? Okay. But yet, wait a second. It can mean either separate or press together. So here we are again. Total opposites meant by the same word. Okay, what do you mean? Because you could say the word and say, well, I don't really know. Okay. Well, that's sort of a moot point, isn't it? Oh, wait a second. Moot. There's another word. Okay. I'm going to read this. It's something that is so disputed that it is not worth discussing, or conversely, that there is a little debate that any discussion would be little more than an academic exercise. Ooh, that big words. Ooh. All right, so either you can't discuss it, or you don't discuss it because it wouldn't do any good. Here we go again, don't we? Okay. Thank you, English. An apology. Gene, I'm really sorry. No, I'm not. Okay. But yet, apologetics is an entire series of things we have in theology. Theology means the study of God. Apologetics. An apology is an explanation. So which one do you mean when you say apologize? Is it an explanation of something? Or are you really sorry because you screwed up? See what I mean? Here we have these words that mean both sides. It can either mean what it means or the opposite of what it means. Boy, that's a little confusing, isn't it? Okay. So what do you do when you have words that can be either positive and negative at the same time? Changes the way you got to communicate, doesn't it? All right. The word for bind, or to be bound in Greek is luo. Luo. Interesting sometimes. Luo actually means a release, or it can mean destruction. Destruction. Huh. To release. But could release mean something different than to destruct? All right, so we're talking about the word bound, right? So what happens if your hands are tied? You're bound, right? So you got to be unbound. So they untie it, you're done. Okay? Luso. Luso. What does that sound like in English? Loose. Gee, guess where they got the word in English? Out of the Greek. Luso means to untie something. All right, so now you're loose. But yet we know the word luo could mean to tie it up. So if it's in the Bible, which one is it? Well, you got to read in context, right? Well, that doesn't always do you very well sometimes. There's another word. For example, this is in 2 Peter 3:12. The heavens ablaze will be destroyed. And in Greek, it's luthesontai. I had to think about that for a second. Luthesontai. Luth. Geez, I wonder why that sounds familiar. Lutheran. Luthero, Lutheros, Lutheran. Okay, anybody remember what Lutheran means in Greek? Truth. But yet, we just see it here. What does it mean? Destruction. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But if it sets you free, it's actually getting you out of something else, isn't it? It's interesting the way words work together. You know, what it sets it up for us. Okay. One of the things that we talk about in the Bible, especially, for example, at the day of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, what does Jesus send the apostles to do? To get a what? A donkey. In the King James, we know what that word is. Okay, but the colt. But in one of the Gospels, they are asked, why are you loosening or untying the colt? Well, we're going to steal him because Jesus wants to use it. No. Yeah, you'll get him back. But there is the luonton. That's what it is. See, we're back to that same word again. But now here's where it starts to get, to me, really interesting. They had in this report, because I was looking at the Greek, where these words, you know, have a different meaning. All right. What they showed, they had a cartoon figure. Had a guy standing here, lady standing here, and they had a tie going from his heart to her heart, where the hearts are bound together. Is that negative or positive? Positive. All right. So here is bound, tied together, tied up, where it's a positive thing, isn't it? All right, so when we start looking at things like this, again, a word can be both positive or negative, or the connotation of how it's used, even though it's tying it together, is positive. I find that really interesting, you know, when you start looking at this. Folks, if especially you've been in my Bible class, I spend a lot of time looking at Greek. Why? Because that's the original language of the Bible. If we don't understand what this is saying, how do you understand the Bible? I don't think you can. But the other thing is, how do you understand it in English when English doesn't have the depth of language that Greek does? I mean, look at the word love. we have one word for love, and it covers all, you know, all five that the Greek has. And I've talked about that. All right. So our hearts are bound together. What does Jesus say in our epistle lesson today? We are bound in your love for us as we are bound in my love for you. Okay? It's his love that binds us. Am I right? Just as it's his faith that leads us. You know, it was hard for me to understand this because they would think, okay, it's my faith. No, it's not your faith. It's the Lord's faith working in you. How does that happen? Holy Spirit, time of our baptism. Okay? Exorcism kicks out all the bad stuff, puts in the good stuff. Okay, and then covered it back up. Here comes the Holy Spirit. Ah, everything's good. You know, that was sort of a flippant way to do it, but it's what happens, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit is in us, working in us, leading us, giving us faith, because remember, faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Paul, and it's working with us. It's binding our heart to Jesus. There's that bind again, bound, luo. So what happens when we are bound to Jesus? How does it change us? All right, parents. How do you know that Jesus loves us? Mom and Dad, what are you going to say? You all have had kids in here, haven't you? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Chicken. Okay, so the kid asks it, what are you going to say? Steve, what did you say? Is the Bible true? Does Jesus really love us? I don't know. Chicken. But you see what I'm getting at? Okay, I'm sorry about putting you guys on the spot on it. But part of that is, too, how do you know? How do you explain a concept like that to a little kid? Gene was probably closer, and it says, because the Bible tells us that. But as we get older, our understanding gets deeper. Okay. But yet, how does it lead us to act? Now we're talking about application. We've gotten to this point. How does this teach us to act if we are bound to Jesus? Good question, isn't it? Do we want to be positive or negative? Positive. Okay. First step, be positive. Second step, working with your neighbor. What is the worst thing you can do? Thank you. Fight with your neighbor. Gossip. Gossip can kill a church faster than anything else. We've had that in here, haven't we? Where does gossip belong? Not in here. No, it really doesn't. You know, I have talked to you before, Galatians 5, the difference between living in the spirit, living in the flesh. Shoulds, woulds, and coulds. Anytime I hear somebody talking about a should, would, and could, are they in Christ? Are they in the Spirit of God? No, they're in the flesh. If only they would do that, things would be better. Couldn't you do that? And don't take a look at me, because we all do that, don't we? But realize that's the devil working in us. That's not God. Oh, sure he does. It's his world. You know, Paul tells us that Jesus is not the God of this earth. Satan is. So there's that battle all the time between the forces of good and evil, positive and negative. And so what is our goal as a Christian? To be positive, right? Yeah. Well, and look at it this way. if your light's going to shine through, are you going to build somebody up or tear them down? Build them up. So what happens if you're tearing them down? Are you living in Christ? No, you're not. But change, like how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? What do you mean change? I always get a kick out of the thing, this guy dies and St. Peter's taking him through heaven. He says, when we go down this hallway, he says, you got to be real quiet. Why? Well, that's where the Lutherans are. They think they're the only ones up here. Of course, you could put Baptist, Methodist, Roman Catholic, you know, Orthodox, and it's the same thing. Folks, we're all going to the same place because we all got the same boss, right? Okay. So what do we do? Well, if you catch yourself starting to gossip or be negative, don't do it. Yeah, talk to the Holy Spirit. Okay, Lord, I know you don't want me to do this. What should I do? Well, let's see. You hurt somebody. What does the Bible tell us to do if you hurt somebody? Ask for forgiveness. And you got to do it with a pure and contrite heart. I mean, God knows if you really mean it. Please forgive me. You mean it? Well, no, not really, but I should say that. You know, guess what? You ain't going to be forgiven. But you see what I'm getting at in all this? We are bound to Jesus, just as Jesus is bound to us. And we are bound to him through love, as the epistle says to us, doesn't it? Now, we're going to take a quick look. I got to look at that time. At the gospel lesson. And I thought about preaching just strictly on John 6. Remember when we were doing Bible study on this? It took us, what, 2 weeks or 3 weeks to get through John 6. It is that full because it's talking about the Lord's Supper. Okay? Why we do it, why it's there, why it's important. And remember, what's the word for this in Greek? Anybody remember? You. Say it again. Eucharist. What does it mean in Greek? To give thanks. Eucharisto is thank you. To give thanks. So everything that Jesus does for us, we give thanks. Okay? St. Louis Jesuits. Remember all this music we've been singing by them? Okay? Sing a new song unto the Lord, all this stuff. One of the things, they just had their 50th anniversary about 3 years ago. You can see the concert on YouTube. Just get in the St. Louis Jesuits. I mean, these guys are all late 70s now. And they started doing this 68, you know, that kind of thing. But one of the things he said, all we wanted to do with our music was give thanks to the Lord. To me, that's a pretty good reason to do anything, isn't it? Okay. But look at verse 25. Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. And then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered him, this is the work of God, you believe in him whom he has sent. Okay. What must we do? Any organization that is I, me, will fail. When the person, individual, becomes more important than the group fails. A Lutheran minister who's head of the psychology department at Lyle Reams University in North Carolina, doctorate in psychology, Missouri Synod pastor, okay? Great guy. He and his wife do a thing, and there's a book called The Power of We that is set up for both congregations and for marriages. Okay? Because We have to keep the power of we. And if we do that, this church will make it, won't it? Huh? There's no I in we. But the whole idea is to become from we, I, or from I, me, to we, us. If we do that, that's positive. Okay? So that means change. If you find that, well, I don't like that. So who died and put you in charge? See what I'm getting at? Is this going to be good for us? If part of it is, let's make it work. I'm going to leave you with this. When I was doing drum corps, and I mean, we're talking about $1 million budget. We had 172 kids in the corps, had a private train from Union Pacific. Well, it was pretty nice stuff, okay? And I always told the kids, some of them were in college, I said, make it work. Don't complain. Figure a way. Make it work. And somebody would come up, because, you know, we're working with a football field. They're moving on the field. And they would come up, listen, it's not working over here. All right, get over here. All right, you're both doing the same thing. All right, you're not complaining. What'd you do? Well, we did this. All right, you guys talk to each other. Make it work. Fix it. Well, how do we know it's the best? I said, who cares if it's the best? Make it work. First time we went in the competition, we always said, Coerton Hut. And what they did, they had a verbal, moo, when they did it. And so when you heard that, moo, coming out, it's the word moo, but we did that. Pop, there it is. So, Coerton Hut, move, make it work. Man, I lost it that day. It was so funny. But they did. They made it work. Can we make it work? I think we can. I think we are stronger, bound in love, okay, than we are separately. May this love, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.